Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a agenda-free getaway day Friday. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's the usual drill. Everything from the week that we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's up to you and your wonderful phone calls. Obviously, big week for the Bruins, but that's not all that's on the table. You know what's on the table. You tell us what's on the table. Billy Lanny is in for Jimmy Stewart today. So, Billy, please release the hounds. Kristen Sermon is back there as well. She'll be the Director of Communications today, Acting Director of Communications, at 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, Audis, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. I put it at the end. I think I still mispronounced it.
I think you did it on purpose.
Audis. I swear to God, I don't.
Just remember, like a belly button, an innie and an outie.
I know, and then I get there and I choke on it.
Or just write OW-DEE, Audi.
I could have done that. I should have done that. I've done that for other things.
Seriously, though.
I know. Sorry. Opening thoughts. Who wants to go first?
Murray.
Yeah, I'll go because mine's quick. I watched the Bucks and Raptors in its entirety last night. The other games so far in that series I've been in and out of. But that was competitive and compelling. It was good content last night. I thought that was a good, entertaining game to watch. I also came away feeling whichever one of those teams actually wins that series is going to get their ass kicked by the Golden State Warriors. Both those teams, comparatively speaking, to the Warriors, the way that they just, you know, beat the bejesus out of Portland and the way they're playing without Kevin Durant, they're going to smoke either of those teams. Those teams stink compared to the Warriors. I felt pretty good with the way that Giannis has been playing. I thought the Bucks were going to win this series, Mike. Now I think it's in doubt. I'm actually pulling for them because I like Giannis. I like his story. He's been mostly kind of meek. I think the Raptors are now going to win. It doesn't matter. Both of those teams are going to get their asses kicked, either one of them, when they play the Golden State Warriors in the finals. It's just going to be another uncompetitive NBA finals. I thought we were maybe going to get a better product, but I came away from that game last night more than anything thinking, these teams aren't that good. They're really not.
Well, I agree with that take that the Warriors are going to win the championship. I think Toronto gives the Warriors a better go of it because Kawhi is
a monster.
Yeah.
And he's just more
best two-way player on the planet.
He's awesome.
And he's
I'm sold.
Yes.
But his surrounding cast, Siakam, that bench with Van Vliet, they're all erratic.
Average.
Some nights Kyle Lowry, some nights those guys are lights out. Other times, they're completely absent. You can't win a championship, and you can't be the Golden State Warriors that way. And if you're a Celtics fan, you should be sick. Because also watching that, I can't help but think, with the way that the Celtics competed against the Warriors in the regular season, when everyone's healthy, when everyone's locked in, if you look at what their talent was, they could have given them a series. So I also felt that, too, watching that. It's like, oh, man, like, if the Celtics just couldn't get out of their own way with their bitchiness this year and everyone was healthy and Smart was healthy, they could have given them a run. They really could have. Oh, and Aaron Rodgers is a – oh, boy.
We were just talking about it off the air. It's hard to trust a man who can't drink a beer properly.
Maybe we found out why he really only does have that one championship. Maybe the most talented quarterback in the NFL, but there's something missing there, and – you can't chug a beer. They're not big beers. They're beers you're buying at the stadium. We know they're not that big. You can't chug a beer. Eh, I lose some respect for you.
I mean, even I can do that.
I think his girlfriend could drink him under the table. Side topic. Maz, what's your opening thought?
Okay, so mine concerns the Patriots, who are obviously in the middle of OTAs, and I was reading some of the coverage from yesterday, and I stumbled across, both in Mike Reese and Greg Bedard, among others, Joe Tooney at left tackle yesterday. Joe effing Tooney spending time at left tackle. And I started to get worried. And this reminded me of something Beadle and Zoe were talking about not too long ago. A comment from Dante Scarnecchia about Isaiah Wynn. And Scarnecchia said, I went back over all of training camp and looked at everything, and this guy is a really good football player, talking about training camp last year. We just have to get him out there. I'll leave it at that. What? What do you mean I'll just leave it at that? What are you talking about? So Isaiah Wynn ruptured his Achilles in training camp last year, if you remember. It was in August. We are now in May. That's 9 months. Children have been born in that period of time, for crying out loud. And I look at it, conceived and born in that period of time. And Isaiah Wynn's not on the field yet? What, am I the only one that's worried about this guy?
No.
Like, what is going on here? The Patriots have an obvious need at left tackle. They drafted a kid last year in the first round. And so the Midday Show speculated on this about a week ago. And given that they are now in OTAs and Isaiah Wynn still isn't out there, does the guy have a work ethic problem or something? Has he not done the rehab? Like, what's the deal? That injury, he should have been basically on the field doing stuff again in 6 months. I mean, it's now been nine. That's 50% longer. He should have been, you know, pretty close to 100% at 6 months, maybe eight. Like, somewhere in that window. It's now nine, and he's not out there for OTAs?
Okay, I'm going to have more Patriots thoughts for you. Coming up, because they had a session yesterday that was open to the media, and there's some stuff to glean, and so we will be gleaning, and that is certainly one of them. Isaiah Wynn, where is he? Sony Michel was also out there, a couple of guys out, some you would sort of raise an eyebrow to, and Wynn is, I think, the number one guy, and others that you expected, like Tom Brady, but we'll have more on the Patriots coming up as well here on an Agenda Free Friday. I am going to open with and talk later on in the show about hockey. This is one of the topics I wanted to get to during the week. We set aside like a handful of big picture topics during the week to help fill the week to get us to game one. And this is the last one on my list. We haven't done it yet, so we'll throw it out on Agenda Free Friday. And that is, generically, Bruins fans, hockey fans, how do you feel about the game? How do you feel about the league? Where's the league? Where's the game? Do you like it? Is it a good league? Is it a good sport right now? I think all these sports and leagues go through sort of ebbs and flows where it's good and it's not good. And where's hockey? Because I think it's taken an absolute clear direction the last couple of years. It's changed. Hockey's different. Hockey is different. Scoring is up. Scoring is up for the first time in a long time. For the first time in basically, call it 30 years with one exception, teams are scoring over 3 goals a game. They crossed that threshold this year for the first time since the mid-90s. With one exception, that was the first year coming out of the lockout, which I treat as an aberration. I'll tell you why, you know, in a little bit. But basically, scoring is as high as it's been in about 20, 30 years. Fights are lower than they've been. Maybe ever. In terms of those who record it, there were fewer fights this year than have ever been, you know, since they started recording the thing. So fights are way down, record level lows. Scoring is back up. The game's faster. Game's more skilled. There are fewer guys in the league who don't belong there. Remember, certainly in some of those expansion years, but
Coons.
There always used to be 3 or 4 guys on every team where you say, he didn't belong here. That doesn't really happen anymore. I mean, they're going to expand to one more team. They're going to add a Seattle team. And no one's really saying, well, there's no talent.
I mean, you're talking about like the John Scotts of the world.
But that used to be the deal. Remember when they were expanding, you know, through the 90s to all these places, the Sun Belt, San Jose, Arizona, Florida teams, and everyone said there's not enough players, and there wasn't. And the quality suffered. Now it feels like there's enough players. There are. I don't look at these teams and say, that guy doesn't belong in the league. That guy, there's very few. So the talent's never been better. Scoring's way back up. Fighting's way down. Do you like the game? Do you like the game, Mass?
I like it. I do. I like it a lot. I know people here get off on the fights. I think the game right now is as good as it has been during my lifetime. I think it's dynamite. It's fast. It's skilled. You still have some physicality. It hasn't been totally wiped out. You've eliminated the dirtiness factor, and I know that that's entertaining. You still get the suspensions and stuff from time to time. I think right now, I think it's a good product. I think the hockey is off the charts good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'd like a little bit more violence just because, you know, I'm a creep that way. But, no, the game, the product, it's awesome. They have marketable superstars that live up to the hype. Hell, even David Pastrnak has a national commercial with Dunkin' Donuts. So I think the league is thriving. I think it's the best it's been in a long time.
Has it translated? I don't know. We're going to look at that. TV ratings, attendance, revenue. Has it translated? I don't know. Is it any more popular than it was 10 years ago when the league was different? 15 years ago?
Well, let me give you this.
I'll wait till you get to the numbers. If you're asking me, my instinct is it might have grown a little, but not much, and that's because there are just pockets that don't care.
Proof of their popularity. One of the things that if you look at some of the events that the NHL does, whether it's the Winter Classic leading up to the Stanley Cup Final, when they have these bands play them, it's usually bands you look at and snicker at, like, oh, it's Nickelback or Simple Plan. They just announced their viewing party that they're going to have on Monday at City Hall Plaza. It's Lil Nas X, who has the biggest song in the world right now, Old Town Road. It's a rap song. It's also a country song. That they got this guy with that song, which is like a hits hit. That's a damn good get for that league right now. A few years ago, that wouldn't have happened.
Interesting. The fact that Guster played, was it Guster? No,
Weezer.
Weezer played the Winter Classic when we were out there.
That's a good get for them. Because typically, it's like some crap band like Simple Plan. You're like, ugh, you couldn't do better than this. You're the NHL.
Well, that's one way to gauge it. We heard him sing Africa in Chicago before the game. So there's the top. How's the league? How's the sport? We can wrap that in all your Bruins Blues commentary, which I know you want to get to today as well. So off and running on an agenda-free Friday. Let's lead with Frank the Tank. I know Frank doesn't like the league like he used to.
No, I mean, the league was much better the way it was 10 years ago. I don't mind the speed or whatever, but like Murray, I'd like to see a little more violence. I'm sorry. It's just a better league when there's a little more hatred going on. In terms of the Blues and the Bruins, I'm getting so anxious right now. I feel like a chained up Rottweiler high on acid, looking at a fire hydrant, thinking it's a French poodle. I just can't wait for Monday night. It's driving me crazy. I think if the Bruins are going to win this series, obviously the special teams are going to be important, but use your forwards against a bigger defenseman, get the puck in there, use the speed that you have, move the puck around, and don't let St. Louis jam you down in your end with their forwards that are going to be banging around. I think this is going to be a great series, Mike. I think it's going to be awesome for the league. I like the Bruins in seven. I think the home teams are going to hold serve.
Okay, babe. It's rare in hockey that the home teams just win out. You're nodding your head about third defenseman?
Well, because I was thinking about this today. The advantage the Bruins may have versus a team like the Sharks, and again, I'm going sort of on my eyeballs here.
Don't you mean the Blues?
No. Against the Blues as opposed to the Sharks,
yep. Is
I think that the Bruins forwards have some forwards that are smaller and quicker. And again, I'm going by my eyeball here versus I didn't actually look at the roster of the Sharks, but the Sharks forwards all struck me as being a little on the bigger side. And the Bruins have some smaller guys. Johansson plays smaller than he is. He's listed as 6 foot. He feels like 5'10", 5'11". And Marchand, I don't know what he's listed as, but he plays small. And I think even Bergeron plays smaller than whatever he's listed as. You know, they're low to the ground, like, or low to the ice. Like, I think that is an advantage you can exploit in that zone. The problem is, on the other end of the ice, it could be a negative because you get small defensemen, too. So, like, you know, that may be the series. How the size translates in each zone. Like, that could be the series.
Tyler and Melrose, hi. What do you got?
Hi. So, with how good Kawhi Leonard's played these playoffs, he's arguably been one of the best players in the NBA, single-handedly leading the Raptors. Is it fair to question age not trying to trade for last offseason?
Yes, your phone's crapping out. Is it fair to second-guess age for not offering Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard when he had a chance? Yes, yes, yep. 1,000 times yes.
Absolutely. No two ways about it.
1,000 times yes. 1,000 times yes.
I mean, think of how different that whole thing could have been.
I mean, that may be my favorite player in the league. I think he is. I mean, he was when he shut down LeBron with the San Antonio that year in the finals. Fell in love with him then. Talk about a guy, the game is slowed down for him. I mean, he slows the game. He just, the command that he plays with and the pace that he plays with, you would think that you wouldn't be able to play at that pace. But he just, and all the things that he can do. He can spot up and shoot the three. He's got mid-range game. He's got a great little shot from the left elbow that feels like his Paul Pierce little money shot. He can drive. He's a little hobbled, but he can still get to the rim. And the hobbled thing, he's fine.
His hands defensively, it feels like he has four of them.
Like, you know, outrageous.
Oh, my God.
And he makes all those little plays on top of it.
Yeah.
All that offensive skill that he has and poise that he has with the ball and the poise that he has in the half court and all those little plays, all those Marcus Smart plays without the suck. That's Marcus Smart who can play, you know, and not that he's diving on the floor for everything, but the loose balls, the offensive rebounds, the little defensive plays, and it's contagious. The Raptors must have gotten 5 or 6 offensive rebounds in that fourth quarter that were really the key to the game. And it was infectious. It starts with Kawhi Leonard. It starts with him. He is a bad man. He is tremendous.
He's great.
What a tremendous player. And none that I can tell, and maybe I'll catch myself because he did sort of worm his way out of San Antonio. But on a day-to-day basis, none of this NBA nonsense. You hear one peep up there about whose team it is?
No, zero.
Whose team is it? A bunch of 12-year-olds here in Boston. You hear one word in Toronto about whose team it is, and I've got to show these guys, and I got to put my I mean, none of that stupidity that you had to deal with here.
No one sacrificed more than I did.
God. I told you, I've decided this, that if you were to ask me, I had to pick one athlete whose body I want. That's the guy I want. I want the body of Kawhi Leonard.
He is the man. All right, we're late. Back to your calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth game's always the toughest one to win, so it's about making sure we bear down and we play the right way and we play for a full 60 tonight.
High slot Williams walking down the gut, shoots and rests, flashed up the glove, take it away.
You know, I thought we played a great game. I didn't have to do a whole lot today, a couple of saves, but you know, we defended really, really well today.
Shoots deflected, they score! 88, able to redirect it home. David Pastrnak slams it in to the right circle, controlled by Pastrnak, centered, fired, they score! Patrice Bergeron, puck intercepted by the Bruins, out in front, Pastrnak shoots, they score! Patrice Bergeron after the puck was turned over.
The reason we've been successful is because we've had each line and every D pairing step up and play big in big situations.
Here's Marchand. He'll wheel out of the line, another slot, shoots. He scores!
How about that?
The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade. They sweep the Carolina Hurricanes in 4 straight.
We've got an excellent togetherness. We're actually battling for each other for the guy. We don't want to let the guy next to us down. We don't want to have a mistake be our fault. Or, you know, if we have a mistake, someone else is picking us up. And that sort of camaraderie and that sort of dedication really takes you to the next level. And we've seen that here for 3 rounds and 1 round ago.
Proud of the guys, especially the way we played today. They've earned the right to be there. Or we've earned the right to be where we are and to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Beat 3 good teams. You know, there's some unfinished business, so that's part of the emotion that you want to keep in check. You want to enjoy it, but also understand that, and I think our guys understand that there's still 4 more steps to take.
That's Jimmy Stewart's montage on Game 4, which was a week ago. I know we're a little horny for hockey, so take it back to that. It's the last hockey game that was played. They'll be back at it Monday night, and we have you covered here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Programming note. We'll all be here on Monday. Midday show, Beadle and Zoe fully loaded. Felger and Maz with Murray fully loaded. on Monday. Okay, so no fill-in programming, no games. Us, a full day here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, taking you up to Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final, and we will be on location. We'll be on Canal Street in front of the Boston Sports Grill, that fan fest thing that they're doing down there.
Correct.
So we will be there among the people. Come on by and say hi to Maz and Murray. They'd love to chat you up. So we'll be on the street all day, Memorial Day, 2 to 7, getting you ready for the game.
Yeah, and no matter what you're doing, you're sitting by the pool, you're at the beach, you're grilling, turn on the show, take you right up to Game 1.
Boom. Okay, so there it is. Back to your thoughts. Brian in Fitchburg, what do you got on the bees?
Hey, first, you guys missed Luke Robitaille on that list of guys who haven't won a cup.
Okay, we'll put him on the board.
And second, so, you know, so I work nights, so I listen to a lot of Scotty Farrell. And you guys have never talked. You haven't talked about the national look in on Boston and the Bruins winning the cup. There's a lot of people that don't want the Bruins to win the cup only because of being babies and don't want Boston to win another title. And all I can say, there, St. Louis is 0-4 in the last 50 years in championship games. So Carver High, they St. Louis is our bitch, Carver High.
Okay, Brian. Can you blame everybody else for not wanting us to win?
No. The only thing I would tell the, you know, if you're a Bostonian, you're annoyed by that, embrace it. You use it as a positive.
Don't you be a baby about it. It's human nature. Let me ask you, and I know what the answer would be. When Alabama gets in the national championship game, do you root for them or against them?
Against.
And there's no particular reason.
Dallas, early 90s. Yankees, late 90s. You get sick of it. I understand it. So embrace the a-hole, like Matt said.
But that's it. I mean, if that was another town doing this, you'd be like, enough of them. Lose. And so that's exactly what people are doing to you.
I mean, again, it's 17 trips to the finals the last 17 years.
It's so stupid.
This is number 18, actually. We're 12-5 in the finals.
Hey, but it's just getting worse. You have a chance to have three? Three of the four?
Isn't that, I mean, think of it. That's like really, talk about the triple crown.
It is just insane. Donnie in Boston on Tuukka Rask. Yes, Donnie.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I'm just, I got two quick points for you. First one is on Tuukka Rask, going back to the 2013 season. He played great for the first few rounds of that playoffs, and when they got to the cup final in Chicago, he kind of went back to his old Tuukka ways, letting in a couple soft goals. And my second point is, Maz, I have a bone to pick with you. You said that Brooks Koepka is not an elite golfer. He's not one of the best in the world right now.
Not on my list.
Winning a U.S. Open, that's the hardest major to win. He's won the last two. I mean, you're insane if you don't think he's the number one golfer in the world right now.
I'll just cut with that. Just your thought on Koepka.
Yeah, he's won two PGAs and two U.S. Opens. As far as I'm concerned, he has zero.
Okay, the U.S. Open thing is silly, Maz.
I'm telling you, I think a lot of losers win the U.S. Open.
It's the second most important tournament in the world.
No, it's the third most.
It's second.
Third.
It might be the first.
Third.
Masters in the U.S. Open.
Masters in the British. Third.
It's not, man.
Third. The British is older than the U.S. Open, isn't it?
So?
That's a way better tournament.
100 years old. That
they invented
count.
The game over there.
But so what?
And would you rather Masters or U.S. Open on American soil? Would you rather go to? Which is more important?
Oh, which would I rather go to? But I mean, maybe I'll give you the Masters, but the Open second.
No, it's a British. British is, again,
it's,
this is
it's
like,
not.
It's an American thing. The British is a way better tournament than the U.S. Open.
I'm not telling you what's better. I'm telling you what's more prestigious.
The U.S. Open blows. It blows. It's a suck tournament. It's won by a guy who just hits it straight and doesn't make mistakes. That's typically what it is.
And that's bad because?
Because that's not what golf is.
It's not.
No.
Hitting it straight and limiting mistakes.
No, golf is about risk reward.
It's a certain kind of golf. What's wrong with a tournament that is about limiting mistakes?
Sucks. It's boring.
Well, but that doesn't make it less prestigious or less golfy.
Okay, I'm going to look up the history of the British versus the history of the U.S. And I'm just saying in terms of, you know, prestige, I think the British is way more prestigious than the U.S.
It's
Open.
More interesting. I mean, I'll grant you that. For sure, it's more interesting.
I think it's more prestigious. I do. Again, we're talking about, like, St. Andrews, the birthplace of golf, all of that.
Would you factor in prize money, TV ratings, things of that nature? What do you think these pros would rather win, the U.S. or the British?
Which pros?
All pros. Any pros.
British.
What do you mean, which pros?
The Euros or the Americans?
Combine them all together. The balance of these guys.
The Brits. The Euros. The British Open.
So you think more PGA-carded pros would rather win the British than the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I do.
I think you're wrong.
I hate the U.S. Open.
Okay,
US
I know
Open
you do.
Sucks.
We're not talking about your personal feelings. We're talking about what it is. It is the second most, at worst, the second most prestigious tournament in the world.
Yeah, and I just think you get a lot of suck winners in the U.S. Open.
You tend to.
The Andy Norts of the world,
but I'm telling
Curtis
you what,
Stranges.
Golf has become a lot of suck-ass, I-don't-care-about-you golfers winning tournaments. That's become golf. My issue with golf, all tournaments. I don't give two poops about Brooks Koepka myself.
I just hate it, and I
don't care what tournament he wins.
I just don't think golf is just hit it straight, put it on the green, and two putt.
That's nice to have one tournament like that.
Mm. We have two.
On Tuukka Rask, the caller had it wrong. I feel like a lot of people had it wrong. He wasn't good against Toronto the first round in 2013. That wasn't this thing about he was great until he got to the last couple of games of the Blackhawks is just wrong. He wasn't great against Toronto. He wasn't. He was average. And then he was good in the second, great against Pittsburgh, and then good for half of the Chicago series. And towards the end of Chicago, he tailed off like the rest of the team, is what happened. And it's not even game six that they lost there in the last minute. I go back to game four here in Boston. They're up 2-1, and they lose a 6-5 game in overtime. And that was way too loose of a game for all of them, including the goalie. That's what happened in 2013. Murray's update. We're back with more on an Agenda Free Friday.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Matt Barr.
You again?
Colton Brewer.
Cole.
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019 in all new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game. Now let's spin the wheel.
Barnes. Brazier.
Brewer.
Thornburg.
Johnson.
Thornburg.
Brazier.
Barnes.
Embry.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Velasquez.
Embry.
Johnson.
And today's Gutless Bum is
line drive to right field. That's going to drop down for a base hit. Here comes the run. Mookie knocks it down. The run scores. Toronto has tied it 4-4 in the ninth.
Nobody on base and two down in the last half of the 12th inning. High fly ball golf to center. Bradley back. Jackie on the wall and it is gone. And he has struck again. And this game is tied again.
Agenda Free Friday. Put some baseball on the table if you want it. Maz is still dubious of the Red Sox and their bullpen.
Big weekend for them.
Is that a fair assessment? And a big weekend coming up, yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got Sale going in the first one, Price going in the second one. They got Miley and Peacock, and I'm checking the third game now. They got Verlander going on Sunday. But you win the first two, you put Verlander in a spot to have to avoid a sweep. Who the hell knows? You lost two or three to these guys. Like, I would like to see the Red Sox get on some kind of roll. That's what's bugging me at the moment. They're like, they're 50 games in. They haven't beaten anyone or anything with consistency. Home, road, lefties, righties, good teams, bad teams. They're average against everybody. It's bugging me. Like, you know, we're almost to summer. Like, let's go. You know, so I would like to see them start playing well. This is a good weekend to do it.
Okay. So put that on the board if you like. In the meantime, back to your phones. Jeff and Merrimack on the Raptors last night. Yes, Jeff.
Good. You, guys, if Drake does that again, you know, show me something, take a charge. Or if he tries to bring that noise to Oakland, E40, the Warriors local rapper, will bust him in the grill, like the kids like to say. And Michael, I'm feeling for you with the Bucks. I think it's time to resurrect your Paul Mokeski shrine. Drop to your knees and hope.
Okay, so on the Bucks, I've been dubious of them the whole time, as you know, and that's not just like the fan thing. I just don't think they're there yet. I don't think Giannis is there yet. And these games sort of show the gap between a guy like Kawhi Leonard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. With you get in the last 5 minutes of the game, and Toronto can give Kawhi Leonard the ball, and they can all clear out, and he can make a play. And he can, and that means whatever the situation, if they were switching Lopez onto him, which is a quickness mismatch, and he was hitting threes on him. So then they called a timeout, and they had a different configuration, and I can't remember if it was George Hill or someone, and then they cleared out for Kawhi, and he backed him down and hit a mid-range shot. And then when they tried something else, he cut into the lane and hit something in the lane. And then when he missed a three, he followed up his own rebound and grabbed the offensive board. And so he just...
And he's nails from the line, if you follow him.
And he hits all of his free throws. Giannis is just the opposite. He's not there yet. You can't. His handle sucks. He lost the ball several times.
Oh, there was one in particular late in that game where he went into the paint and it just squirted out to the left.
Okay, so he doesn't have a handle. If you wall off against him defensively, he's got to bull his way in there and then get to the line. His free throw shot may be one of the biggest factors in the series is that he's lost it from the free throw line. He's not good to begin with, but at least he's a 70% shooter. In the series, I'm not even sure what it is. Maybe 50%, feels like. And so he's way down at the line. So that makes him reluctant to get to the line. His outside shooting is poor. And so the whole team is built around him penetrating, creating traffic, and then kicking out to some stiff on the three-point line. But if the stiffs aren't hitting, or if Giannis can't even get into the lane, they have no offense. So they're just not there. Like, I mean, I'm still surprised that the Celtics laid down like that, because the Bucks are a beatable team. They're not there yet. Giannis isn't there yet. If he ever gets there, look out. But he's not. And I mean, that's just an obvious difference in the series.
So to me, the other thing that I've noticed as the series has gone on, Toronto has length that the Celtics don't have. I mean, you know, between
Gasol and Ibaka.
And Siakam.
Siakam, yeah.
Like, you know, there were guys in there that make it a little tougher for Giannis to shoot. I mean, he doesn't go over them as easily as he did against the Celtics.
Why don't you have that with Baines and Horford?
Horford's not really as vertical a player. He's just not. You know, I mean, he's 6'9", and he's more of a power forward. You know, he can give you a little bit of resistance.
You should have beaten that Bucks team.
I'm not telling you that.
If you weren't such a pathetic mess, you know, crying and bitching to each other about whose team it was, you should have beat that team. And frankly, you should beat Toronto. They're a one-man outfit. That one man is tremendous. Tremendous.
I'll tell you what, unlike Murray, I'm not convinced Golden State's winning the next round.
Oh, I am.
Not if it's Toronto.
Oh, you're crazy, and you're so dug in on this dumb Steph Curry thing.
They'll have a harder go of it against Toronto because Kawhi will win a couple games at the end by himself.
He's a problem for Golden State.
They ain't winning in seven games. They're not taking four off of Golden State. No way.
No way. I think it goes five. I'm not impressed. He's been great, but I'm not impressed by that surrounding
cast. Giannis, by the way, 60% in the series from the line, 30 of 50.
See? So
he's missed 20 free throws.
It's just, and some bad, and I think the air balls have crawled in his head, and so there's times where he goes to the rim, and I think he's a little ginger because he doesn't want to go to the line now. And he's 23, 24, first time in this spot. It's showing. You know, and he just learned the fifth, you know, whatever. 7 years ago, he was selling necklaces on the street in Athens. So it's just like that was going to catch up eventually.
Sure.
And so here we are. I think it's caught up.
I mean, both he and Leonard have had 50 free throws. Antetokounmpo's hit 30. Leonard's hit 46. 92%. He's a bad man.
Complete.
Oh my God, do I love him.
Complete.
I told you, I want his body.
And
I want to have that body as a human being. What a body he's got.
But what I love is all the intangible little stuff that he does. This is just makes him unlike any other superstar. I mean, really. Makes him unlike any other guy that I see. Durant doesn't do that stuff. LeBron's got more facets to his game, but he doesn't do the defensive little stuff, the hustle stuff. He doesn't do that.
Kawhi's a better shooter.
And Kawhi's definitely a better shooter than LeBron James. I mean, it feels that way. I don't know what the percentages are, but just the way he shoots, the release, all of that. He is a tremendous ball player. John in Somerville. Hi, John.
Hey, I want to talk about Torrey Krug in the offseason.
Go ahead.
He's going to be up next year. He's going to be asking for a lot of money. He's 29 years old. Do we trade him at the deadline, at the draft?
Okay, John, you raise an excellent point, and it's really for another day, but Torrey Krug, you got 1 year left on his contract. He's a half a point a game guy in the league. He makes $5 million now, which to me feels like too much, but that's underpaid for what he produces offensively. He's going to be a $7, $8 million a year player if he hits the market. I don't want to pay him that.
No way.
I want to pay McAvoy that.
Yeah, I told you, I thought they were going to move him before this year. It's probably a good thing they didn't because he's been valuable to them.
So do you let it ride, let him walk for nothing and just take another year from him and hope you go on another run? Because he's an important piece to you. They love him in the room and all of that. Like, they think he's a sort of, you know, a guy that they want other players to follow. They love him, just his leadership, and so they really like him in the room and what he represents. I'm not putting that properly, but the organization loves him. Is that worth $7, $8 million? I don't think
no,
so.
No, it isn't.
But, I mean, to me, he'd be on the block. He would be. And I think you could get a team to overpay for him.
Yeah, and they might be at a stage where they don't have a choice. I mean, if they're going to pay Carlo and they're going to pay McAvoy and, you know, they're going to go forward with some of these guys. And again, DeBrusque is going to be up a year from now. Like, you can't keep Krug. You can't keep him at a ridiculous number. You can't.
Okay, one of the things I wanted to hit on today, the big picture topic, is the state of the NHL. How do you like the game? How do you like the league? Is it a good league? Is it better or worse than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago? Goals are back up. Fighting all-time low. Everyone wears shields. A lot of speed. More goals. Is there enough contact for you? How do you like the league? That's one of the things we're talking about. We'll get back to it right after these words.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
The Blues don't have an empty net goal in these playoffs yet. Barbashev got it! 5-1 Blues! Empty net goal! Ivan Barbashev just helped the Blues put a handful on the Sharks in Game 6. You can smell it, you can taste it, you can feel it, and the best part, St. Louis, it ain't over.
That St. Louis call. Their clincher against the Sharks. You don't like that St. Louis radio guy?
I don't know. He bugs me. Something about that guy's sort of delivery bugged me. I mean, good for them. They won. I'm not one of these guys that's like going to hate the other city and all that other crap. But that guy, for some reason, I found him annoying.
You can taste it. You can squeeze it. But there's still more work to be done, St. Louis.
Yeah, there you go, Murray. Murray crystallized it for me.
Just another mid-market stiff.
Oh, God, seriously, though. Good grief.
The sport. You like hockey, Murray, right now? You like the NHL? You think it's in a good place?
I love it. I think it's been great. I love the unpredictability of the playoffs, which we certainly got this year. I certainly would like a little bit more violence, but I know we're way too far past that now. But in terms of the skill level, marketable stars, you know, you want to tune in randomly to, you know, whatever the game of the week is on NBC during the regular season, it's a great product. I think it really is.
Do you like it?
I don't like it as much.
Oh, really? I think I like it better.
I don't. I think there was more hatred. And it's not just the fighting. I liked the fighting. I did like the fighting. I liked it as a game tactic. It's not just a, you know.
Not for the brutish.
Yeah, I mean, I like the pure interest of it. I do like a good fight. And I am a barbarian like that. I like that. But it's not just that. I liked the tactical element of fighting and how you carried that guy, and if you carried that guy, and how you activated that guy, and when you used him, and when he fought, and how, you know, I thought the cup that you won in 2011, that was a part of it.
Even when
there was no fighting, you come down 2-0 down to Vancouver, and you realize you can push him around, and suddenly they put Sean Thornton back in the lineup, and he starts menacing and chirping the Canucks, and there were no fights with Thornton, but just his presence changed the whole tone and nature of the series. And I like that. Like, that interests me. And I miss it. I miss it. And I think that it's led to a milder product. I mean, look, I don't hate it. I still love the sport. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's led to a milder sort of thing. Like what they've done here in the playoffs, where you play off in your division to create rivalries. That's why they did this.
Yeah.
So you face Toronto every year. So when you play them in the regular season, it's a bloodbath. It's a rivalry, except they don't let you hit each other. So what's really the point? You know, have these Boston, Toronto regular season games, have you noticed any appreciable difference?
No.
I mean, I don't.
Not at all, no.
I mean, there should be score settling. Like, the Bruins should be going and trying to pummel Nazem Kadri, and Tampa should be going to pummel Brad Marchand and drive his face into the ice for licking Callahan the year before, but I've never really seen that materialize. Has it?
I still think there's big hits. I really love the skill level because it reminds me a bit of how it was in the 90s, the early 90s when it was Fedorov and Yzerman and Burry and McGillney and Timu Solani. Like, that's what it's pretty close to, and I loved that. Granted, you had more violence then too, but the skill level, I think it's on par with that. I'll tell you, it ain't what it was during the Devils run of the early 2000s. Like, that's where it's like, I don't know if I can watch this sport anymore because it got ruined by more than a handful of
teams.
I mean,
that was brutal.
No question.
That was brutal. And I'll tell you, I love the speed and the skill. I love it. And I think there's still enough physicality that you have to keep your head up. So, you know, it's not European hockey. I mean, European hockey, nobody breathes on each other. They don't give a thing. Like, everybody's always in space. So this isn't that.
Well, they play on the wide sheet, I think. But
No, they do.
That's what this is trending towards, though.
Yeah, but which is why they should keep it on the size ice that they have.
Everyone wears a shield.
So what?
I hate that.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
Bothers me.
The game's fast now. I like it.
And again, I like it too. I'm just telling you, I liked it when it was a little more of a mix. I like that at least the puck's going in the net. To me, my big problem with the league the last couple of years is that they took fighting way down and still no one scored. So now we're just skating around in circles. At least this year, and now finally the puck's starting to go into the net for the first time. Well, it's really the second time, but there's an asterisk there. For the second time since 1995, okay? So for the second time in 25 years, teams scored and averaged over 3 goals a game. They finally got over 3 goals a game. The only other time since 95-96 was 05-06, which was the first year out of the lockout. The league was scrambling to get all this revenue back, and they called a crap ton of penalties. And so that number was based on, and follow me here just quickly, 5.85 penalties called per game per team. So, which was by far the most since they started recording this in the 60s. By far the most penalties were called that first year out of the lockout to get teams on the power play to get the puck in the net. This past year, for example, they again scored just as many, but the power plays per game per team were under 3.
Oh, wow.
So this was more 5-on-5. Now, power play percentages are up, but this is a true number, okay? That they scored over 3 goals per game in 05-06, but that was doctored because they put the teams on the power play.
It's like juicing the ball.
Yes. They juiced the game coming out of the lockout. This, penalties were below 3 a game, and you got over 3 goals a game, which first time in 25 years. So that's good. At least the puck's going in the net. Why do you think that is? The last couple of years they trimmed back the goalie pads.
So did they do that?
Yeah, they have. It's been hard to keep track of, and you don't notice it with the naked eye, but the pants, your pants are smaller. Some of the chest protectors are smaller. I think the pads did come down a little bit, but it's not really in those leg pads. It's in sort of more of all the other stuff, and they're just by little incremental amounts. But that might have made a difference.
So I think it did. And I'll tell you why, because you know what goals feel like go in more to me now. The ones under the arms. Like, it feels like...
7-hole?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which number that
7
is.
7-9.
So I know what 5 is. But, like, the those ones under the arms, those feel like they break through now more than they used to. Like, I think that's a factor.
I also think the sticks have gotten stupid. I mean, whatever they're made of. I mean, you see the bend on some of them when they slow it down or take a still picture of some of these sticks, the bend on them. So I think that's it. But, I mean, so... I used to get really pissed at the league for taking the fighting out, and still no one could score. So it's like, you want to be less physical, I need the trade-off. Be less physical, but give me more offense. I mean, real offense, because I do not think chances equate. They always say, what we want is chances, not goals. And it's not the same. You want the puck to go in the net, the goal song to go off, the big horn. It changes momentum in a game. The puck has to go in. It's not chances. It's goals. So at least goals are back up. So I'll trade fighting for goals if I at least get the goals. I'd like both. But boy, he's fighting down. The fights. Fights this year across the league. 226. That is the lowest in recorded history. And when I say the lowest in recorded history, on hockeyfights.com.
Right.
I don't know where else to go to find. They do the best job of logging it. So that's like 20, 30 years. Whatever it is. That's fights per game, 1.8. 1.8 per game. So less than 0.2. So one every five games.
Oh, all right. Okay. Sorry. I misunderstood how you said that. I thought you meant 1.8 fights
nope,
per game.
0.18.
Oh, 0.18.
0.18. Lowest in recorded history. The league this year, the Bees led the league this year with 26. 26 was the league leader.
It's one a week.
When they won the cup in 2011, they had 71.
Right.
And that was second. They were tied for second that year. So just to show you, they're down almost 3X from when they won the cup in 11. And
that's 8 years.
Yes.
That's not 20 years. That's eight.
This year, Vegas and Toronto each got into six fights each. You are more likely to see a fight going to a Toronto Blue Jay game than you are going to a Maple Leaf game now.
Or a Raptors game with Drake.
Right. You are more likely to see a fight going to a basketball or baseball game now, almost, it feels like, than going to a freaking hockey game. I don't think that's good. I'm sorry. And I'll tell you what, in terms of the popularity of the game, it hasn't worked. The ratings are up this year, but it's incremental. The league tweets out that they're having their second highest playoff ratings since 1995. Since 96. It's the second most watched playoff since 1996, behind only 2014. But I guarantee you, they didn't put the number in there, and I'll tell you why. Because they went from a 0.6 to a 0.7. I know this. I've lived in this environment before. You're up 20%. Oh, so that means you got a 0.35 versus a 0.32.
Okay, but again, look at it in the aggregate. Fighting's gone down and the ratings have stayed the same.
True.
So people weren't watching for the fights.
That's a fair way to look at it. That's a fair way to look at it. It's still a fourth sport nationally by far.
See, I think that's...
I mean, even locally, it's, at best tied for third. I still think is probably in fourth, doesn't have the broad appeal that basketball does. So the direction of the game hasn't really, it hasn't hurt it. You're right, Maz, to say that, but it hasn't brought in anyone new.
No, so that's true. And I just think that the problem hockey has, and it'll never change, is that it's regional. And it's weather-based. Again, the hockey-playing regions in this country are the Great Lakes regions, the Northeast, and the Rockies. That's pretty much it. Now, there are professional franchises in some other areas, and, they're building rinks in places, and we can talk about Austin Matthews and growing up in Phoenix if we want. But the fact is the roots of the game are in the cold weather regions of the country.
So this is my issue, and it goes back to the physicality of it, and that is if you've taken this direction to draw in more casual fans, it's not going to work. It's not. Hockey's an acquired taste. It's still a niche sport. Those of us in the niche love it. And we'll die for it. But you're not, whether you score 3 goals a game or 4 goals a game or 2.3 goals a game, whether there's fighting or not fighting, those not in the niche are not coming in the niche. That's it. You're just not going to be a... So if that's why you're doing it, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. So you might as well fight. Now, I know the whole fighting thing is all different because the doctors and the lawyers are involved and concussions and head. I got it. I don't know why we need shields. I don't know why everyone has to wear a shield. I can't make that one optional. You want to lose an eye, then lose an eye. That's your call. I don't know why everyone has to wear a shield. It bugs me. It cuts down on fighting. I mean, seriously, if you want to take a puck to the eye, that should be your free right. I don't get it. There's states where you don't have to wear a seatbelt. You don't want to. You don't wear a seatbelt. Don't wear a seatbelt. It's up to you. Why does anyone have to wear a shield? And that also cuts down on the fighting. And now you can't even...
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. Line ma.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.